Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is the Greenbrier Ghost. It's a story about a woman, a young lady who was murdered, and her spirit apparently appeared to her mother, and the testimony was actually entered into the court record as evidence, and it resulted in a conviction. So we're going to talk about that, kind of a neat little story. But before we do, we'd like to welcome you again to History Dweebs, and I'd like to introduce our panel. First, I have the very lovely and talented young Brittany to my left. How are you today, young Brittany?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Do you have anything going on in your life that's exciting right now? You washed your hair.
I washed my hair today.
It looks lovely.
Thanks. Nothing too exciting yet.
Okay.
But so I'm excited to talk about this story today.
Yeah, it is a kind of a cool story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we're also joined by the very, there's really no words to
evil?
Describe her.
No, I say evil. Evil?
I'm thinking more.
Bitter?
Hostile?
Intelligent?
No.
Wise?
Thank you, baby.
I was thinking more.
Ferocious?
Pretty much average person. Brandy.
No, I gotta say she above it.
You guys, that's not nice.
What? She's average?
You're hurting her self-esteem.
She don't have self-esteem or feelings or anything else. She's not.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that we...
of this world.
How are you, Brandy?
Fuck you, Tim.
Okay, I want it noted, the first person to swear on this particular podcast was Brandy.
It always is.
No.
Well, anyway, Brandy, no. She's a very talented young lady. How are you, Brandy? Let me say that in a more...
convincing way.
Convincing way. You're the highlight of my day. Seeing you is the highlight of my day. How are you today, Brandy?
Well, Tim, I wore open-toed shoes, so you need to keep the bullshit to a low. And I'm fine, thank you.
And
isn't that a dress code?
I brought it up earlier.
Quit wearing bras, wet tank tops, or anything go around?
Yep.
I'm wearing my Speedos in here.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Good morning.
I think the person who wrote the dress code policy had a foot fetish. Because all these women are running around with open-toed shoes. I think it's sick.
It's pretty.
There's nothing more gross than toes.
Oh, no. I'd like me a good toe now.
Where do you like that toe at?
Some women have got some pretty feet now.
You only don't like feet if you have ugly feet.
Yeah.
There's no... Every
got
foot is
curly
ugly.
Curly ingrown toenail.
I have pretty feet.
I have pretty feet.
Yep.
Okay, well, so if you're interested in photos, pictures of Brandy or Brittany's feet, write us at it.
We will send you their feet, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll
send you
in
photos.
A bag.
As a fundraiser. It's
fundraiser.
$2 a picture is a fundraiser.
$2 a toe.
It's for the children.
Yeah, man.
For the children.
Yeah, for the children. For sick kids.
Please
dying.
Don't ask about my feet.
Are they funky?
No, they're great.
Okay, well then you know.
My feet are just like I have to buy my shoes at the training men's store because my feet are just huge.
Oh, I need wide
but
ones,
but they're not
too.
Ugly.
They're not ugly. They're cute as shit.
Yeah.
But
yep.
I have to. But after, you know, children, they
I believe
grow.
We could probably wear my shoes.
We pamper ourselves.
I think they're too I think
our
your
feet
shoes
look
are
nice.
Too small.
I think Chuck has lovely feet.
I have been, you know, until last year we went on vacation, I had never in my life wore a pair of flip-flops.
Mm-hmm. What?
Never.
Oh. That doesn't make sense.
That's I don't understand
like
what you just
I
said.
I did not like the look of a man walking down the street with flip-flops. Plus, how are you going to fight somebody in flip-flops?
I don't know. I have seen you in Crocs.
I do not. I ain't ever put a pair of Crocs on in my whole life. Oh, men should be slapped for that.
Okay, so as you can hear, I'm also joined by the very distinguished, honorable, multi-talented Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters, the third, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, to me, I'm lovely today. I'm hoping I want to give a quick shout out.
All right.
To my friend Dottie Scott. I hope she had a lovely birthday yesterday.
Yes, her birthday, and she was very...
Hi, Dottie. Dottie.
She was very happy that you guys gave her a shout out.
Did you go over and visit your mama?
No.
You rat son of a bitch.
I texted her. I took a selfie and I texted it. And
no, the woman's been on this earth a long
time. For Christ's sake, Dottie, had I known your boy wasn't going
to
show up, I'd have brought you.
You know what I did? I took a piece of paper. I wrote "Happy Birthday" on it, held it up, took a selfie, and then
so
texted.
Like you were in France or
basically
something.
Basically, you did what took the least amount of effort is what you did.
I think
I was efficient.
I think my 4-year-old did the same thing for my birthday.
Okay, but anyway, you have another shout out.
I got a shout out too. We gave one yesterday, but we're going to give it again because the poor man had to raise two daughters. He listens to our show. I've seen pictures of Brittany's sister. I've seen Brittany up close. They're both lovely, lovely girls. And I pity a man who has pretty girls. You know, me having the three boys and the girl, but luckily the girl lesbian, I ain't going to worry about
really? Three,
but
we're doing that.
Anyway.
You're outing your child on...
She's been coming out for a long time.
All right.
But anyway, Bill... We feel your pain. I don't know your sister, but I know you raised a fine, fine young girl here in Brittany.
She's very talented.
She's
hi, Dad.
Just a wonderful girl. And we're going to give a shout out to that special shout out to Brittany's hair.
Oh.
Because Brittany just
it's
has
listening.
Exceptional hair today.
It's listening.
It's what?
I said it's listening.
Isn't it glistening? It's good.
No,
it's
listening.
Glistening?
Glistening.
Listening.
Listening.
Oh, my God. Deaf as opposed to
it can
all
hear
men.
You.
Well, I was going to give a shout out to your haircut,
no,
too.
You weren't.
I was,
no,
too.
You
yeah,
weren't.
I was, too, because everybody, it's a lovely haircut. I like it. Yeah. But we need more blue in it.
Yeah,
we
you
need
some
blue.
Highlights.
Because it just doesn't flow the nice haircut devil.
You know, she was complimented yesterday when we said she was matronly.
She was?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I heard a podcast, and we said you would make a good prison.
Yeah, and you were like, hell yeah!
Well, that's true, I would.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Okay.
See, because I try to ignore you people.
Oh, well. But anyway, no, you're right.
Can you engage in...
Because you're mean.
For fuck's sake, you're playing Candy Crush while we're trying to do a podcast.
Because you're mean to me.
No, you both have lovely hair.
Standing here participating.
And...
excuse me.
Yeah. Did you have more?
I conditioned this morning.
Yeah, you have...
Sure you did.
Doesn't look nearly as greasy as it usually does.
That's right.
Good job.
Okay, so... Shout out to Bill. Shout out to my mom. Shout out to also a special shout out to Jay in Indiana.
Jay Cutler.
No, not Jay Cutler, but he is from Cutler, Indiana. He left us a very nice comment on our Facebook page and says he listens to our podcast and really enjoys it. So thank you, Jay. We appreciate you listening.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
So, today's topic, as I said, is the Greenbrier Ghost. It's a true story. So it's not like we're doing like real paranormal stuff, but it's an interesting story. The Greenbrier Ghost is the name given to alleged ghost of a young woman in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, who was murdered in 1897. Her name was Elva Zona Hester, and she went by Zona. Initially, the murder was judged to be by natural causes, but the court later declared that she had been murdered by her husband.
Murdered.
Following testimony by the victim's mother, in which the victim's mother claimed that her daughter's spirit revealed the true cause of her death. So mom was visited by the daughter's ghost.
The ghost of Christmas past?
Yeah, she was visited by the ghost on, I think, four occasions. Elva Zona Easter was the murder victim. She was born in Greenbrier County, West Virginia, sometime around 1873. The records are not really clear on that, but there's almost nothing known about her early life other than the fact that she was brought up near Richland, Virginia, or West Virginia, and that she did give birth to a child out of wedlock in 1895, so she would have been 22 years old.
Skanky boy.
Wow. I don't think she should be judge her, but at the time, of course, that was a big deal to have a child out of wedlock.
Who's done right scandalous?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel scandalized.
Yeah. So, but in 1895, so she had a baby in 1895, and in October of 1896, she met a drifter. Yeah, that's probably what happened in 1895 too. But in 1896, she met a drifter by the name of Aramis Stribling Trout Shoe, or otherwise known as Edward.
I would run as soon as I heard that name.
Yeah, I'd go with Edward.
Yeah, there's nothing good about that.
I believe the man was a Gandhi dancer.
He might have been a Gandhi dancer. Dude, there is a YouTube video on Gandhi dancers. Yeah, it is amazing. They worked, really. I didn't realize how hard that job was. But
dancing?
Anyway. No. They didn't
dance. Did they twerk?
No, they're working. They put rods under railroad tracks to clean up, and they, you know, they pump on the line. They sing while they're doing it. That's what they call it, Gandhi dancing. But
do they ever sing "It's Raining Men"?
Hallelujah,
man.
Hallelujah.
But it looked like hard work to me.
Please don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, back to Zona. So Zona meets this drifter, Edward. We'll just say Edward Shue. And Shue had just moved to Greenbrier County in search of a new life and found work as a blacksmith. She worked at in a shop owned by a guy named James Crookshanks, who's really not important to this story at all, so I don't even know why I mentioned his name. But Zona met Shue not long after his arrival in town, and the two
show him around.
Yeah, and they
show him a good time.
The two fell in love, and they were soon married. Now, I'm guessing she's taken anything that comes along, because back in those days, you have a child out of wedlock, it was pretty tough to probably find someone.
Well, and just think now, you're on Match.com back in the old days, right?
Yeah.
And here's what she got to offer.
Yeah.
I'm a blacksmith, and I got an illegitimate child.
No, she wasn't the blacksmith.
She was a blacksmith.
He was a blacksmith.
Oh.
He
was a drifter.
The blacksmith.
He was a drifting blacksmith. No. She was.
Tell me again how I'm not paying attention to this story.
Okay, yeah. I misunderstood something.
Okay, she was a very nice lady.
That's
had a child, a child out of wedlock, but she meets this drifter, Edward Shue, who came to work who came to town, and he got a job at the blacksmith as a blacksmith working for James Crookshank, who, again, I don't know why we even reference his name because he's not important to the story. But anyway,
he feels he's important.
Zona meets Shue, and the two fall in love, and they're soon married.
Are they madly in love?
When has a woman ever met a Shue she didn't like?
Good point.
You come up with that on your own?
He makes a good point. But anyway, she loved him, and they got married. But Zona's mom, Mary Jane Hester, mm-hmm. she was not too thrilled about the marriage. She didn't like Mr. Shu. She took an instant dislike to him, and she objected to them getting married. But the two were madly in love.
Madly.
Madly in love. So they got married anyway. So Elva, Zona Hester marries Edward Shu, and that's when the shenanigans starts.
So many shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
No.
So who is going to tell us about what happens next?
Chuck.
Okay, let's try this again. Chuck, why don't you tell us about the murder?
Well, there was a murder, and they was married for a short time.
No shit.
This.
Okay.
Do you two want to relax just a little bit now?
Okay, so.
I mean, we jump straight from Mr. They got married to he killed her.
It was basically what
That's
happened.
That's true. That's valid.
Mr. and Mrs. Shu.
They lived peacefully for a short time.
Okay.
But. On January 23rd, 1897, this young boy comes in. He'd been dispatched to the Shu house on an errand.
Okay.
Now this boy finds Zona's body laying on the foot of the stairs, stretched out with her feet together and one hand on her stomach. Boy goes and gets his mama. She calls the local doctor and the coroner, George Knapp.
And the doctor
said Knapp didn't arrive for an hour.
You just back. You say this is 1897, right?
1897.
So this is less than a year after they met, fell in love, and got married. Yeah. So it's really early in.
My guess is she was kind of she was a nagging.
Well, go ahead. This is a honeymoon period.
That is so awful.
What?
Let's go
she
back
was
to
a
the story.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she couldn't cook. Maybe she couldn't. You know. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so they found her body. Right.
They found her body. Well. Yeah, she get married less than a year later, she dead. So she wasn't the greatest wife in the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would be her fault.
She got off to a rough start.
She sucks.
So anyway, the young boy finds her. They send for Knapp. He doesn't get there for about an hour. But before he gets there, Shu, he carries his wife's body upstairs. Lays her out on the bed, and He undressed her and dressed the corpse himself. Now, this is kind of unusual.
So he was
typically the job of washing and preparing the body for a burial would be the undertaker by the women in the community. Undertaken by the women in the community.
Yeah, so it was typically something you would wait and someone else would do, not the spouse.
Right, and it could have been he wanted one last shot at her before the rigor mortis.
I don't know. I would not say that at all.
Well, I mean, she was still warm.
Not out loud.
She was still warm.
No,
who knows?
No, that's not good, dude.
Who knows why he took her upstairs and undressed her?
Okay, I mean, go continue.
Really
continue.
One reason to take a woman upstairs.
Well, I think there's other reasons involved in this.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, this, as I said, this is very unusual.
Trouble.
Didn't get aggravated.
I know. Actually, I'm reading my news feed. Go ahead.
So Shu brings her up there and dresses her in a high neck dress. Long neck, like a, Count Dracula. Protect her from Count Dracula with a stiff collar.
Oh, that's sweet.
Did he put a cameo, like a pin on her collar?
Yeah.
He put a veil over her face.
Yeah, something was amiss.
Something might have been amiss, and he buttoned them all together with a cameo. And he remained by her corpse while Dr. Knapp examined it.
Okay.
Cradling his wife's head, sobbing.
So he's kind of keeping the doctor from doing his job.
Yeah. Yeah. So Knapp, he notices that the husband's grief, and he, not wanting to upset the husband, gave the body only a brief examination, noticing a little bit of bruising on the neck. When he tried to look closer, Shu got so violent with the man that Knapp said, well, hell with it. She dead. They ain't going to learn nothing. So he wanted to just get the hell out of that.
Yeah, so the doctor's like thinking, well, he's in grief and he's in mourning. So
yeah.
It gives you kind of looks over and says, okay.
Now, here's what I like about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Her cause of death was listed as everlasting faint.
You got to be careful with that.
Well, what is everlasting?
It creeps up on you.
Is it like everlasting vapors? And then you
maybe
you get the everlasting vapors, and you faint, and you got the everlasting faint. What the hell is that even?
And you never wake up.
You never wake. It's like Cinderella. Somebody got to come along and kiss you. That's
it's
what
like
she was trying
everlasting
to do.
Faint.
It's like everlasting nap. It's a dirt nap.
But
basically.
Then it was later listed as changed to childbirth. Apparently, she was pregnant.
Childbirth.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Where
was Knapp, the baby?
Knapp had been treating her now.
Yeah.
So, again, we're going back. Knapp had been treating her for female trouble.
Oh,
air quotes.
For 2 weeks prior to her death.
Yeah.
So whether she was pregnant or not is unknown, but. And
well,
again, I'm going to go back to this.
You got her reputation. You're going by. She had a child out of wedlock.
Her reputation was that she was a dirty whore.
Well,
I wasn't going to use those terms.
They've been married less than a year. She got female. Now you know, Timmy. You know.
Yeah.
And you women on the panel, maybe you want to chime in here.
God.
But you know, when you get some female trouble, your attitude goes straight to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't nobody want to be around a woman got female trouble. Nobody. So
right.
She probably killed her.
So you think she may be having some sort of...
they didn't have Reese cups back then, to me.
Yeah, so maybe some PMS or something. And
something like that, yeah.
PMS, I didn't know it could wipe you out, but I guess it could. If you get pissed off your husband.
Oh, it got hurt.
But anyway, okay, so the doctor doesn't do
a thorough...
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
It was female trouble. Now Zorna's parents were informed of her death, and Mary Jane Hester is reported to say that devil has killed her.
Yeah, she expected it. She suspected the husband all along.
She did not like.
She didn't trust a Gandy dancer.
We don't know he was a Gandy dancer per se.
He's a drifter.
There's a drift.
Maybe she said, hold me closer, Gandy dancer.
This is going to get a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
Zorna is going to be buried on January 24th now at the local cemetery.
Well, the ground was hard. And, it's cold. It's cold. The ground has to be hard during that time of the year.
You got
to
dig harder.
Yeah. Brandy, what happened with the burial there?
Yeah.
So she was buried on January 24th in 1897 in a local cemetery that's now known as the Soul Chapel Methodist Cemetery. Shu showed this great devotion toward the body, kept a vigil at the head of her open coffin. The body was laid out at Hester's house, but soon his behavior kind of began to arouse suspicion.
Because he wouldn't like let no one near the body,
right?
Right.
During the wake, his grief changed repeatedly from overwhelming sadness to incredible energy. Timmy didn't let anybody come near the coffin, especially while he was placing the pillow on one side of her head and a rolled up sheet on the other. He explained these additions by saying they would help his wife rest easier. He also tied a large scarf at the corpse's neck, explaining tearfully that it had been Zona's favorite. When it came time to move the corpse to the cemetery, though, several people noticed there seemed to be a strange looseness to Zona's head. It was down by her feet, so they noticed that. It was crazy.
You know, I bet he didn't allow them to do any post-mortem photos. You know how they do back in the day? They take pictures of the dead people.
Please don't take pictures of me if I'm done.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
We're going to put a little party hat on your head.
Okay. Well, I really hope I don't die soon.
We'll put you at a bar.
You put me at a bar on a bar table.
You know what we're going
to
do?
Here is a comforting thought for you. We'll all be dead before you will be.
Well, we don't know that. The girl drowned like she a maniac.
Don't say that. She's gonna live to be 30.
Run me, run you, run Timo. What is she liable to do anything?
I have never had a ticket. Yeah, that's not true.
I've never been in an accident.
What are you
doing? Crazy to say.
Okay. She's gonna live to be at least 30. Go ahead, Brandon.
Okay. So for her part, Mary Jane Hester was convinced that her son-in-law had murdered his wife. And after the wake, she removed the sheet from inside the coffin and tried to give it back to him. But he didn't want any part of it. She kind of noticed a weird smell about it, on it.
Yeah, it might be the corpse.
Yeah, it might be a dead person, but, you know, whatever. So she washed it.
Sort of like Chuck's fish when he came in from the long weekend.
Yeah, that stuff ain't funny at all.
It's hilarious.
It's freaking hilarious.
So
I'm glad you guys are enjoying a dead fish.
What was its name, Spike?
Death's around
you. What do you mean,
you?
What was his name, Spike? How the hell you not even know my fish's
Death's
name?
Death surrounds you, dude. For real.
Yeah.
The Grim Reaper walk like 2 feet from you.
Evidently. So I'm not even going to call you. I'm not going to call you my friend anymore. We're more associates. Because, yeah. So anyway.
Death is his companion.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So she washed the sheet. God. And the water in the basin turned red when she put the sheet in.
So obviously there was some blood or something.
The sheet turned pink and the water cleared. Oh, the sheet then turned pink and the water cleared out. The water cleared. But the stain could not be removed, and Miss Hester interpreted that as a sign that Zona had been murdered.
It could also have been the sign that he really didn't have really good dishwashing detergent back in the day.
So she started praying, and every night for 4 weeks she kept praying, hoping that Zona would return to her to explain what had happened.
You should try that with Spike.
Oh, yeah.
Spike, God. Leave me alone.
Spike, can you hear me?
So, are you there?
We need to have a seance.
Are you there, Spike? It's me, Chuck.
We need a seance for Spike.
It's me.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brandy.
So,
what the hell wrong with you people?
According to local legend, Zona appeared to her mother in a dream 4 weeks after the funeral. She said that Shu was a cruel man who abused her and who had attacked her in a fit of rage when he believed she'd cooked no meat for dinner.
Or that bitch. That bitch, what, she cook green beans or something?
I don't know.
Ain't nothing like coming home.
So maybe she was trying for him to be healthier.
You know, he probably had a couple of hamburger buns with nothing. Pickles and onions with no meat. No,
this stuff ain't gonna fly.
No beef.
Maybe
she had the sandwich fixings, but she didn't have
beef. It was like, where's the beef?
She may have tried tofu. She may have been trying to help him out.
Yeah, all right. So anyway, the ghost appears to her mom.
The ghost appears because she hadn't cooked meat for dinner. Because she hadn't cooked meat for dinner, he broke her neck.
You know what I don't like about ghosts? They always show up unannounced.
They do.
No, so, she was an owl. She asked. She was praying for her to come.
Yeah, he broke her neck. So to
wonder what
this,
he would have done if she hadn't prepared any dinner at all.
Oh, God. They'd have never found her. So to prove this, according to Mary Jane Hester, to prove this.
Should have went to La Rose's, man.
The ghost turned her head around till it was facing backwards.
Oh, so she did like a Rosemary Babies type. Or
she did
exorcist.
Like an exorcist kind of thing. Yeah.
So.
Supposedly, the ghost appeared first as a bright light, gradually taking form and filling the room with a chill. She is said to have visited Mrs. Hester over the course of 4 nights. So for 4 nights, this bitch keeps showing up at her house, taking her head off.
I'd say, okay, I got you, know, after the second night.
Got it!
Right.
You got to give me a minute. I got it. Give me a second to do something.
Show up at the prosecutor's house.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead. Okay, so no. her mom is now motivated to get
so
this guy.
So for four nights, this chick shows up, like I said, at her mom's house, taking her head off and spinning it around like a Harlem Globetrotter.
Hey, check this out.
The ghost talked to her?
Yes, what did I say? He didn't cook me. She didn't cook me.
Oh. No one reads this shit, do they? No. Really? It's just a story. Topic of the podcast.
She said that Shu was a cruel man who abused her and attacked her for not cooking.
Wait a minute. Do I not send you all links to these stories before the podcast?
Can't have any pudding if you don't eat your meat.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller. It's
okay, so the caller was apparently
it was the ghost.
It was ghost.
Zona, or it could have been Spike.
It might have been Spike. We asked him where he was.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he can
dial a phone.
Yeah, maybe voice activated.
No, you know what? Actually, he hits it with his head.
He left me a text. He sent me a text message.
Ten times.
He said for all you guys to go fuck yourself. All right. Said you need to grieve him.
Okay, let's get back to the story. So now Zona meets. Just to recap briefly, Zona.
You okay there?
I didn't do anything. I don't know what happened. Zona meets this Mr. Shu. Edward Shu, a drifter.
Why are we recapping?
They're getting married because I'm totally lost. And so Edward Shu and Zona get married.
We start now.
In less than a year, Zona is appears dead.
She's deader than 4 o'clock.
Deader than 4 o'clock. And
not a hot dog.
I'm going to twist your head
not
off.
Not a vagina sausage.
A vagina.
He would have accepted bologna, probably.
I mean, some bacon.
Yeah, Spam, if nothing else.
Even some ghetto, maybe. Because it got a little bit of meat.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I get a sausage?
Can I get bacon?
Okay, so she doesn't provide any meat. Then she shows up dead. Her husband, Edward, is it Edward? Edward Shu is acting very weird.
Because
I'm lost. And then after she dies, the ghost of Zona shows up at her mom's house to convince her that Edward was the one who actually killed her because she did not provide any. She didn't.
Is this a two-part series, and we're going over the first part?
I'm trying to help the listeners stay focused.
They're focused.
Okay.
So many things happen next. There's still the autopsy and the trial.
Okay, so she goes to the prosecutors, and she says, "Hey, Mr. Prosecutor."
Yep.
My daughter keeps showing at my house at middle of the night.
I can't sleep.
She's saying all this crazy shit. Can you please look into this for me?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So he, you know, doesn't really quite believe her story.
Right.
But he did have enough doubt that he dispatches deputies to re-interview people.
There's a lot of dispatching in this story.
Yes, and detaching.
Detaching. There's more dispatching than a taxi company.
So they re-interview several people, including Dr. Knapp, and numerous people are suggesting that she had been murdered. So Preston himself went to speak to Dr. Knapp, who stated that he had
Preston is
the prosecutor.
Sounds like a shitty name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, actually, it's pretty progressive for the time, the name of Preston.
Typically, I think of Preston as possibly one of the people who would celebrate the new Supreme Court ruling.
I think of Preston Gomez.
I see that.
He was a baseball manager.
I think of Preston as walking down the street holding hands with somebody.
We digress. All right, go ahead.
Preston admitted that, or I'm sorry, Dr. Knapp admitted that he had not made a complete examination of the body.
Yeah, he kind of skimmed over.
That's weird.
My bad, dog.
Yeah.
You
know, you wonder how many people actually are murdered that the coroner just kind of gives them the once over and just, you know, close the books on them. I bet it happens. Yeah, I bet it happens.
I know of at least three myself.
So then he did a full examination on February 22nd, 1897.
So they dug her up.
Yep. And Shu?
Yeah, Shu.
Okay. I look at that and I want to say something different.
It's Shu. It's Edward Shu.
So Shu had admitted that he knew he would be arrested. charged, but said that no one would be able to prove his guilt.
You know what was weird? They made him sit through the autopsy.
Yes, that was the next thing. Yeah. Yes,
and they said that the next of kin has to sit through the autopsy. Wouldn't that suck?
They were trying to get him.
I've never heard of anybody having to sit through an autopsy. Yeah, but
apparently it was the law at that point that he had to.
That's weird. But it had lasted 3 hours, and they found out that Zona's neck had definitely been broken.
I mean, wouldn't you hate to have to sit there while they cut up your...
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
You would think. I'm pretty sure he didn't care.
Well, no, but I mean, if you were innocent...
They probably had hot dogs.
Yeah, but you can, like, look at a person and probably tell if they had something to do
gave
with
me
it.
Meat. He's happy.
Oh my God. Did he eat a hot dog while he was watching
exactly.
it?
Exactly. I think he had hot dogs.
Go ahead. A pastrami sandwich.
Go ahead, Brittany.
So also according to the report, the discovery was made that the neck was broken and the windpipe was mashed.
Okay. Just as we all suspected when we were telling the story.
Yep.
So she, it turns out, there was some foul play.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was the prime suspect.
Yes, absolutely.
Did they do the little kid thing? Because I still believe there was some shenanigans going on in the bedroom.
A rape kit?
Possibly. I'm just saying.
There could have been.
You're safe.
There could have been.
That's not part of the story.
It's not.
I'm going to take the woman up there and undress her.
He was trying to move the process along. Okay. He didn't want someone else to come in.
He was covering
up. Let Timmy take me somewhere and undress me.
Nobody's going to undress
I hope
you.
Nobody does
believe
it.
Believe that. Rest easy.
Yes. And so,
that won't happen.
So Mr. Shu is then arrested, right?
Yes. Charged with the murder of his wife.
Yes. And so what happens at trial?
So he was held in the Lewisburg jail awaiting trial. He had been married twice before. His first marriage ended in divorce with his wife accusing him of great cruelty.
So some dirt starting to come out.
Yes.
He was married twice before. His first wife claimed he was abusive.
Yep. Yep. His second wife died under mysterious circumstances less than a year after they were married. Zona, his third wife, and she began wishing to wed seven women. So was he interested?
Yeah, he told someone in the while he was in the jail that his goal was to get married seven times.
Wow. Oh.
I don't know why.
Maybe that's like a freak thing.
He's looking for someone.
I want to marry seven women, kill seven women. I don't know.
I don't know.
He
was a serial marrier and a serial killer.
Okay.
No, I'm just making that up.
Well, as far as we know, he only killed one.
Yes. Yeah. But his second wife died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah. So that gives them suspicion about the third. Yeah.
Probable cause.
But if death is a mystery, don't we all die under mysterious
circumstances? We do.
Sort of.
Okay.
He told reporters that he was sure he would be let free because there was little evidence against him. The trial began on June 22nd, 1897. In Maine, Mary Jane Hester was Preston's star witness. The prosecutor confirmed his questioning to the known fact of the case, skirting the issue of her ghostly sightings.
Yeah, they didn't. The prosecutor isn't the one that introduced the testimony of the ghost.
Right.
Right.
That
was done by the defense attorney.
Right, yeah.
Because he was going after the credibility
of
Miss Hester. Right?
Yes. So perhaps hoping to prove her unreliable, Sue's lawyer questioned Miss Hester extensively about her daughter's visit on cross-examination. The tactic backfired when Miss Hester would not waver her account despite intense badgering.
And the defense attorney forgot he was in West Virginia, apparently, where people would believe that kind of story.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
So we're doing that.
I'm just saying.
As the defense introduced the issue, the judge found it difficult to instruct the jury to disregard the story of the ghost, so many people in the community seemed to believe it.
Yeah,
consequently,
just like I said.
Sue was found guilty of murder on July 11th and sentenced to life in prison.
Yeah, and
Could I first apologize to the people of West Virginia? I
love West Virginia. It's almost heaven.
I'm down there on the campaign trail here.
Is West Virginia for lovers?
Yeah, it is for lovers. That's Virginia. Virginia
is for lovers. Virginia. West Virginia is for
For lovers,
cousins,
too.
But they can be your brother, sister, and cousins.
Yeah, West Virginia is for people who serve meat.
Yeah, evidently.
So anyway, the local folks went crazy, and they wanted to. They wasn't happy with the.
They wanted to draw in court.
Yeah, they wasn't happy with the license, so they were going to pull him out of the county jail and lynch him. But so they moved Mr. Hsu to Edward Hsu to the West Virginia State Penitentiary in Moundsville, where he served out the rest of his sentence. He only lived for three more years. He died on March 13, 1900. There was a epidemic of measles and mumps breakout inside the prison, and he caught one or the other or both.
Measles and what?
Mumps.
Ooh. It's a shitty way to die.
Yeah. You know what the mumps he died of pneumonia, but it was due to those either one of those. There was two major epidemics breaking out, so he could have caught either
two
or.
Two of those what was that?
Epidemic. It was an epidemic of either measles or and mumps. Right?
You know what his last words were? Mumps. Screw you, Jenny McCarthy.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think so.
Anyway.
His last words were, give me his steak.
He was buried in an unmarked grave at the local cemetery. Mrs. Hester, the mom who testified, she stuck by her story. She never recanted the story about her daughter's ghost. And then she died herself in September of 1916. As for Zona,
did she ever come back?
No.
Zona is dead.
Zona remains dead, and her ghost has never been seen again. So, interesting enough. But, you know, just so you don't think that we are just making up shit, the state of West Virginia has erected a state historical marker.
It's not erected.
Yeah. The state of West Virginia erected a state historical marker near the cemetery in which Zona Hsu is buried, and it reads as follows. I should have you read this, Colonel, but I'll read it.
Don't tell him that.
Interred in nearby cemetery is Zona Hester Hsu. Her death in 1897 was presumed natural until her spirit appeared to her mother to describe how she was killed by her husband, Edward. Autopsy on exhumed body verified the apparition's account. Edward was found guilty of murder and was sentenced to the state prison. This is the only known case in which testimony from a ghost helped convict a murderer. So, how cool is that story? Okay, so pretty cool story, everyone. You like it?
Super cool.
Okay, shout out to Scott. Any other shout outs?
Hey, Scott.
No. Hey, Scott.
Okay, thank you all, and join us again next time on History Dweebs.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.